Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, boy. Good afternoon, everyone. It's Shamika Robinson. Today is Sunday, February 28th, a little bit 8 minutes after 3. Thank you so much for joining today. Today's show is titled False, because that's exactly what it is, false. Give you a little background. I am 40 years old. I live in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. I am the mother of one male child. I'm self-employed. I work from home, making all-natural body products from head to toe. I am not a pastor. I am not a teacher. I am not a Christian. I do not follow any type of organized religion. However, I am a bloodline Israelite. Okay? If you don't know what that is, then probably hang up the phone and just kidding. Find out if you don't. Okay? So, again, today's show is titled False, They're running rampant. A lot of false things are, you know, just going through. Nobody's saying nothing about it. Nobody's addressing it. And those that know me, they know I live in my own little box. I stay in my own little world. I don't bother nobody. Nobody bother me. I mind my business. But bothering me, I can't sit back and let it happen. So that's the, it's not a bad thing, but that's, I'm going to say the dangerous thing when people like me don't react and take care of problems that bother them. It just builds and builds and builds and builds. And I don't want it to explode, so I figured, let me address it now before it explodes. And I don't want it to explode. So this show, I'll be addressing some things that is really, really bothering me. It's bothering me a lot. So I'm addressing. I'm going to address it because don't want to explode. All right. Let's get into it. Precious Father, Majesty, thank you so much for blessing us with this day. The breath of life, the breath of air, fresh air. Thank you for calming the temperature down today with an awesome, beautiful, sunny day. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, Father God, for the open eyes, ears, and open hearts, minds, open spirits. They are coming. We are coming. We are walking towards the light. We have had it. We are nervous. We are tired. We are afraid. And you put the hunger in us. And just like you said, every knee is bowing. Every tongue is confessing. We are doing it ahead of schedule. We are doing it ahead of time. And thank you, Father. Okay? Circumcise the rest of the heart. Circumcise the rest of the ears and eyes that they may come and eat from this table with us. Thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I thank you for discernment, and I pray for blockage that no seed will fall and be eaten up by the enemy, especially after this show. I claim that in Jesus' name. Amen. Get out your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the King James Version, which is the best English translation, because the Father is detail-oriented, and he knew at this present time that we would be speaking English, so he has ordained some people to translate the wonderful Word of God in English, and they did an absolute awesome job at it, and it's called the King James Version. That's the version I'll be reading from. And before I get started, I always like to read the seven rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meanings to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The second rule is to do not seek for hidden meaning to be understood. Fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. Sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last one, number seven, let the Bible be its own interpreter. And since you never know what level of education, common sense, mentality, spirituality, you never know what level of, mental capacity the viewers are on. So in case you're wondering, what does the Bible have to do with the show titled False? It has everything to do with it. All of my shows get to the root of the matter. So that's what the Bible has to do. The Bible is the root of all matters. So I base my shows on that, in case you were trying to place, okay, what does the Bible have to do with false? It has everything to do with it. Okay, stay with me. Please stay with me. It has everything to do with it. So let's get into it. Let's get into it. Those that are joining, just to let you know, like I said, I live in my little box here in the Poconos. I do not have Wi-Fi at the home. However, my son will be opening up the lines at 3:30, 4, 4:30, and 5. I told him to just leave it open where if the callers are coming in that he can just unmute the phone. So at 3:30, your mics will be unmuted and so forth, okay, just to, you know, if you wanted to introduce yourself. You will definitely be given the opportunity to do so a little bit later. So let me just set the show up. Okay. Okay, again, the show is called False. What is the definition
are false. False is not according with truth or fact. False means incorrect. False means appearing to be the thing denoted, deliberately made or meant to deceive. Okay? That's the definition of false. Some synonyms is to beguile, bogus, delusive, dishonest, distorted, fake, fictitious, fraudulent, imaginary, inaccurate, misleading, phony, and unreal, etc. I can keep on going all day about false and things that are false and synonyms, and I can go on all day. It's just, I found it pretty difficult to study for today's show because of the broad range of the word false and the broad things that are false. I mean, I really had to be like, okay, let me narrow it down and pick really bothering me as opposed to just covering the whole topic of false. Because that's dealing with life. It's too broad to cover. Not no two-hour show. Okay? It's just too broad. So please keep those seven Bible rules. You know, when you get a chance, write them down and keep them by you so that way you will stay on the road too straight. Okay? So we've read those things. And what's so bad about false is because it's deceptive. Okay? It's not like anything else. False is kind of like a spinoff from the truth, and there's an intention behind it. It's not innocent. There's nothing innocent about false. You may say, well, why? If you're like me, like, damn, how did it get so bad? How did this disease, this poison called false, spread so fast and so bad? You know why? Because there's an innocent strategy that we were not paying attention to. There's a strategy behind people that deal in fallacies and stuff. There is a strategy. It's the same type of strategy. It works a lot. I was about to say it works every time, but it damn sure don't. It don't. But it works a lot when you're not paying attention to strategy. Right now we're going to go through, before we get into the focus, we're going to go through the strategy. Because how something, or why this false stuff is ruling and reigning so heavily is because there's a strategy. And you must have a body. We're on Earth, so you must have a physical body to get this strategy put on Earth. Okay? So keep that in mind. Okay, my name is Shamika. Now, if I was looking to, let me make it personal. I do my own body products and hair products and face products, right? So now let's say I found out someone else close to me or someone else that has access to my daughter, her product line. So immediately fear is going to set in. Oh, my God. I have some competition coming up on the scene. Now, I have to get a strategy going so that this new lady, let's call it what it is, a new lady, don't take my customer. Okay? So I have to get a strategy going. How to get the strategy going is you're going to need people. False can't come in the world without a person. It's not something that just magically appears. You need a human body to get the false, you know, the fallacy out there. And it's the same strategy. It works every. Please, maybe you want to take some notes. I have notes. I got about 7 to 8 pages of notes for this show that I study for. And it was just up until this very minute to when I dialed, I was still studying for the show. From when I first put it up, all day, ideas was just coming. All day. So let's go through this. I'm trying to keep, you know, focus on the outline. So, you know, you don't want to confuse people. You don't want to go too far. You don't want to, you know, you want to stay on topic. Let's get to the strategy. The first strategy is, you got to watch the body language, the professionalism. The first thing people use to get this false stuff on the earth is charm. They have a smooth manner. Okay? They've mastered their emotions. They remain calm and cool under pressure. They deal with distractions. They are lovingly people. Well, I should say they appear to be lovingly people. They use tender words. Okay? People are usually mesmerized by them, you know, and instead of focusing on what they're actually saying, they're so engulfed in the charm. So when you're trying to get a fallacy out there, you need a person that is charming. You're not going to get someone that's ugly and sloppy and nasty to look at. You know, got you know, eye boogers, nose boogers, you know, yuck. Okay? Nah, you want somebody that's well-dressed, good-looking, well-spoken, okay? Because their charm is what's supposed to be this new woman that's going to start her product that is resembling my product. I am going to do it by way of a charming person. You know, go to her and you know, go to let's say, go to five of my customers, and I want you to tell them that you've tried her product, but they broke you out. Now, if you're sloppy and nasty, you don't dress well, you can barely speak, who's gonna listen to you? No one. But if you're beautiful or you're attractive, it doesn't have to be a woman. You could be a male if you know, attractive, you dress well, you know, you look well groomed, you know, you got your hair cut in order, you got your silly beard going on, it's nice and greased up. I like that look. But so you need a charming person to get this agenda pushed. And then what is the charming person gonna do? They're going to use a lot of analogy and metaphors. They never stick to facts, okay? So what would they say to my customer, the customers that may be enticed by this new business owner is, you know, like I said, they don't stick to facts. They'll say something like, well, you like supporting apartheid? Let's say they know what you mean. You know, they always, you know, you gotta see who your target is. If you, let's say if you see a sister with an afro, you know, you got to put two and two together that maybe she's pro-black, so maybe the way to get to her is you want to start, you know, singing some pro-blackness to her. Oh, I could tell, sister, you down with, you know, your people. You sure you want to buy those products? I heard, well, actually, let's deal with reality. You know those, Shea Moisture, for example. Now we're dealing with reality. Shea Moisture. Let's just deal with reality. Let's say I heard a lot of my customers are using Shea Moisture products. Now, in reality, I did hear that, what's his name? The politician dude. What's his name? Oh, my God, I just drew a blank. Anyway, I heard he really do own or have a real big stake in that business, the Nubian Heritage, you know, Shea Moisture. What's his name? It's at the tip of my tongue. Oh, he's a politician. Real famous guy. If I tell you, you'd be like, oh, what? And you would be confused, too. Like, what the hell is he doing owning part of that corporation? Anyway, I forgot his name. White dude. White politician. So Shea Moisture is a, you know, African-American hair product line. You know, they all natural. You know, they probably, anyone can use their product, whether you got a perm or weave or whatever the case may be, but especially us naturalistas, you know. So when I first heard that he owns, and I don't like speaking lies, I believe he, I'm not going to say he owns the whole company, but he owns parts of the company. I don't know if that means he is a majority shareholder or what, but as soon as I heard that, you know what I said to myself? I'm never buying their product again because I don't know what business he has in wanting to be an owner of a company that's geared towards African-American hair products. I didn't get it. Don't get me wrong, maybe he's just a savvy business owner. I mean, a savvy businessman that says, wow, you know what? I know all the black girls are going natural. I know they all are talking about, you know, Shea Moisture products. You know what? I want to make some money. Let me buy up some stocks or let me take the company public. I don't know what area that he did, but as soon as I heard that he was an owner, immediately I got turned off because I didn't get it. I didn't know, you know what I'm saying? So now let's go to that sister with the afro, rocking afro, you know, black power. and I'm trying to get her not to buy those products because now that is my confidence. You know what I'm going to use? That strategy. Analogies and metaphors, you know, stuff like that. And what I'm going to say to us, right now we buy in black. You know, us black people, we are trying to support each other. So why would you buy into Shea Moisture, who's owned by a white man? Guess what? I've just now misdirected that customer. She is not going to buy those products anymore. Now, the funny thing with that example is that that's really true. You know what I mean? That's really true. I'm getting by, you know, people that are trying to, again, the same false strategy, they do the same thing. Do you see the strategy? They do the same thing. Now, I'm doing it out of reality. This white politician, you know, we got to be careful of these politicians. And here one is owning our product. It's like, wait, what? We all coming together. We're trying to support black, blah, black. Be black, get black, you know, take the weeds out of here. And then here's this white dude coming out of nowhere, owning part of this company, get towards black women's hair. What's up with that? Like, what is he doing? Maybe he took it to another level and made it better. I don't know. But what people that's trying to push their false agenda, they resemble that are really going by the truth. You know, they do the same thing. Now, I'm a charming person by nature. The stuff I just spoke about that company is true. So people that are pushing the false agenda, they do the same thing. They use the analogies and the metaphors. Number three, slander. They use slander. Now, what is this politician's name? I can't think of it. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, whatever I remember the name, I'm going to say. I don't care if it's 10 minutes to the end of the show. Y'all might know because the emails was going, the Facebook was all, you know, we were passing around. I posted on my page too. I was like, whoa, what is he doing owning part of Shea Moisture? That's owned by Nubian Heritage, I thought. Like, what is he doing? Like, I didn't even get it. Anyway, I forget. I can't think of his name. Damn it. Okay, so now so the first strategy is charm. Second, they use analogies and metaphors. They never speak to facts. Okay? You know, they say stuff like, does the bear shit in the woods? Like, excuse my French, but they say stuff like that, okay? They never get to facts, never. They just, okay? The third thing is slander, okay? Me, I'll be digging into some of this politician's agenda and what he stands for and stuff like that. Now, that is trying to push ballot, they're going to do a similar thing, except that they're going to use slander. The stuff that they use is not going to be true. And they use the slander to discredit the truth, to discredit the person, okay? They have to invalidate the truth. Oh, you use Shamika's product? Oh, please. I heard she ain't even natural. I heard that ain't even her real hair. I heard she'll even use her own product. You know, that's slander. I heard she's not even about the black people. You know, I heard she speaks against black people. You're going to slander somebody so that the person that's hearing your words is going to be completely, they're going to be completely turned off, and therefore you have now discredited the truth, and then you discredited the person by using slander. That's it. That's it. It works. The fourth thing is they never answer a question. Usually they're not even questions because, remember, the charm is the first thing. And because people are usually so, kind of enticed and you know, by them and seduced, you know, like, you know, he's smooth or she's so pretty and she, you know, they're so enticed by the beauty and the charm that they really never do. You know, however, if you were to question them, they would always keep their answers very general. Again, do beer shit in the woods, and they won't really answer the question. And because they're so charming, you think they're answering it, but they're not. You know, let's say you ask the person something like, oh, word, how do you know? Girl, I know everything. Please, it's my job to know. Did they answer the question? No, they didn't. But the thing that they said seems like an answer. It appears to be an answer. Oh, how you know she don't even got her, I thought she had her own natural hair. Girl, please, I know everything. How do you know? Or how do you know she doesn't like black people? Or her, she wasn't even really black. Oh, how do you know? You never said, well, because, you know, my brother is dating her sister, and her sister said they're not even black. They actually Puerto Rican. Like, you're not even getting factual information in your answer. They just keep it real general. Girl, please, I know everything. I know everything about her, girl. Believe me, I've been studying up on her for a minute. Like, those are the type of answers they'll give. So general, they never answer the thing, and you never continue to ask them questions. Okay, yeah, I know it's your job to, you know, but, you know, no, seriously, I want to know, how do you know she's not really black? You know somebody in her family that's not black? Or, you know, how do you know that? They never answer. They just keep the answers that they do give very general. The fifth thing is point fingers. They always point fingers. Okay? They have to. Because if they're not pointing the fingers, then the focus is going to stay on themselves. Okay, they're always going to be pointing fingers. And I don't even need to break down what pointing fingers are. We all know what pointing fingers is. You know, other people, blaming other people. The sixth thing is fabricate. Everything they say is going to be fabricated. Okay, you have to base it on some truth, but it'll be a fabricated version of it. That's the strategy they use. The seventh thing is, and this is the most important, is they play upon your emotions, the people they're talking to. Kind of like psychic, you know what I mean? If you're sitting down in, you know, a psychic person's presence, and duh, I mean, if you're a woman, they're going to say, oh, I see here you're having some problems with this male in your life. Duh. I mean, who's completely single? Somebody dating somebody. And if you're not dating somebody, then I'm single. And I've been for a few months. What, since June? Guess what? I still got man problems. Okay, so everybody got man problems. If you're a man, you got woman problems. So what a psychic will do is so general like that. If you're a man, they're going to say, oh, I see right here you're having a problem with, and it may even throw two men, with two women. Duh. Everybody's in a relationship and you got somebody that's kind of hounding them to want to kind of be with them or trying to entice them to be with them. I don't care if you're male or female, somebody's waiting in the lurks for you to break up so they can be with you. Okay? So a psychic will play on that. Duh, if you're a man, she's going to say, oh, yeah, I see you have a woman in your life, but I see another woman over here. I don't know who she is, but duh. And now if the man frowns, let's say he frowns in confusion, that psychic is going to know, back off the subject a little bit. And she can play right in your emotions. Well, I can see here that you already took care of this other woman. You don't really, attention, you just don't know it. You know what I mean? So, therefore, he'll think that what the psychic is saying, oh, wow, I thought I told her I was married and that I don't cheat on my wife. Oh, wow, she's still cooking up something. She's still trying to, you know, come between me and my wife. Oh, okay, I thought she left me alone. Oh, all the psychic is doing is playing on your own emotions. That's what she's doing. If you, duh, everybody got kids, she can tell by your age a little bit. I mean, if you're a young person, she probably wouldn't even bring up kids to you. Or she'll bring up something so general like, oh, I see there's a child in your future, in your near future. She could tell by your emotion, you're either going to start, you know, nodding off like, yeah, let's say your girlfriend may be pregnant. Or you may, again, get that bewildered look like, huh? She'll know you don't have any kids or no one's pregnant. You know, so that's what the saying with these people that's pushing this this falsehood. Usually, now if you really, really if you really about that life of pro-blackness, I don't care what somebody is telling you, you don't even receive it if it's your same, if it's a brother or your sister, if it's a brother or sister they're talking about. Let's say I'm black, and I don't claim to be pro-black, but let's say if I was pro-black and somebody else is coming up to me, talking to me about another black sister, I'm supposed to dismiss them right then and there if I'm all about my people. I'm supposed to say to them, well, you know what, Laquita, I don't even want to hear no more because I like that sister. You know what I'm saying? She's a sister like us, girl. Let's not even, you know, that's what the rest of the world does. But, you know, it's sisterhood. Let's not even get into talking about her like that. Matter of fact, if it's all like that, let's call her. Let's call her and see what it's all about. Let's call her and ask her, you know, is her products breaking people out? Or let's just tell her. Maybe she's not aware of it. Some ingredients in there she doesn't know about. But I'm going to bring it to her attention so that she can get her products squared away so that we can still continue to support that system. Now, that's what pro-black people are supposed to do, but they don't do that. Now, what a person that's playing on your emotions would do, they can tell with you about that. Because as soon as they come up to talk to you about your brother or your sister, you're going to frown upon them. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to beat you at it. They're going to beat you at it. As soon as they see your demeanor changes because you hear that negative tongue coming out their mouth, they're going to switch it for you before you even get a chance to say you don't want to hear that negativity. They're going to say it for you. But you know what? She's a sister like us. So I think, you know what I'm saying, we should confront her and tell her, you know, we're trying to support your sister, but you need to get it together. Because why? They are playing upon the strategy, okay? First, charm. Second, analogies and metaphors. Third, slander. Fourth, never answering a question. Fifth, pointing fingers. Sixth, fabricate. Seventh, playing upon your emotions. I could keep going. I just stopped at seven. I like the cat thing, okay? I had the cat. I had to. I mean, I could keep. I was all kind of Googling, and I was like, oh, my. Like I said, the study was so broad. I had to cap. I had to cap. I could keep on going on, but I like to stick to basics, and I like to cat things, okay? So that's the strategy. So we're looking for a person that not only possesses charm and all this other, the analogy, we're looking for a crafty person, okay? You got to be crafty to be able to work with analogies, metaphors, slander, never answering a question, pointing fingers, fabricate, playing upon people. You have to be a crafty person and an intelligent person to be able to do that. You have to. If you dumb, half dumb, you have no intelligence level, you're not going to be able to fool nobody, okay? Because you're going to sound like a retard from the time you, excuse me, and that probably wasn't the best word, but you're going to sound ignorant as soon as you open your mouth. No one's going to believe nothing you say. So when you're looking for a person that's why God warns about women, because women are used. Not all, don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong and think that it's all women. It is not. Yeah, some sisters out there like, whoa. Woo! What? You from our tree? But no, usually women are smart and can get the thing done very easily. Okay? Okay, so now let's look at some things. So we already saw the strategy. We got the definition down. And now let's look at some examples. We're going to take it right to the beginning. Let's get to the root. And y'all know, my favorite book, Genesis. Let's go right to Genesis and let's look at the root of false. Let's look right at the root. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, when you get to Genesis chapter 3, you know that God has created, you know, restored the earth, created man and woman, etc. Very detailed, so that it was good, kept it moving. Chapter 3 picks up with, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Stop right there. Because Satan didn't have no power to transform himself into anything, especially not no snake. So this is a physical snake. And it says, now the serpent, that's a snake, an animal, was more subtle, meaning cunning, crafty, okay, had made. Ask yourself, why did Satan use the serpent? You see, when you're trying to get your agenda across that's going to be false, you need somebody smart. You need somebody crafty. Satan understood that, and that's why he got the serpent. He even didn't say he, remember, Adam was naming all kinds of animals, right? Check out verse 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. So ever Adam called every living creature that was named thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. Okay? So that means you can't say, oh, well, that's all that was created at that time. Nope. Wrong. False. Satan could have used anything. A cow. A bird. What did he choose? A serpent. Okay? You see what people know that's trying to push this false agenda? They know you're looking for a crafty person to get this falsehood put out there. You need someone crafty. And now check out what this crafty serpent does. And this wasn't Satan. Satan used the serpent. You need to understand that. This was not Satan. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Now that's truth, right? See what the steps are? You take the truth. That's the truth right there. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. That's the truth. That's the woman. That's her response. Check out verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That's true, right? Check out number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Boom. Right there. Right there. So they put the lie out there, right? It's a direct lie. That's a fat, flat-out lie. And now watch number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Got her. Look at number 6. Hello? Hello? I hear it beeping in my phone. And the woman saw that the tree was good